1 minute after six, we'll get the library trustee board meeting to order. Adopt or amend the agenda.
But you got me.
Motion?
I can make the motion.
I'll second.
We've had a motion and a second to adopt the agenda. Any other discussion? Otherwise, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Carried. Minutes from the March 17th, 2026 meeting, Board of Trustees, and April 8th Executive Committee meeting. They're on page 3 and 9. This is an action item.
Move approval.
Got a motion. Is there a second?
I second.
Motion's been seconded by Cindy. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Public open forum. Nobody's on the agenda. Financials. The bills, they were emailed and they're in your packet. Addendums were on the table.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Been seconded by, Teresa. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Financial report, 5.2.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Motion to approve the financial report by Tina.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve the financial report. Any questions or anything on that? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. The auditor's report by Schwinner, Winner and Company.
Right.
You going to take care of that, Randy?
Nope. We've got our auditor here.
Oh, okay. All right, there you are.
All right. Hello, everybody. I'm Ashley Maher. I am a senior manager over at Schwinner, Winner and Company. And I'm here to present the audit results for 2025. So in front of you are three books. I will be going over the one that says presentation of the audited financials, so the horizontal one. It summarizes the other two books. So the other two books in front of you are the audited financial statements, the full financial results for the library, and then the other one is a report to the members of governance, which essentially goes through a number of items we're required to tell you all based on our audit standards. So I'm going to go through the presentation copy, which, like I said, summarizes the other two and is much shorter than the other two.
Okay.
As well. So I will start off with the page that says audit process and opinion at the top. So this essentially describes what we do with an audit. So we get a multitude of documentation from the library, and we do many testing procedures and inquiries. I think Addie can attest to that. We ask many things. After looking at all the documentation and going through all of those inquiries and procedures, ultimately we're looking to issue an opinion. So for the library for 2025, we're issuing an unmodified or clean opinion. That is the best you can do. It essentially means no significant issues or errors or misstatements arose during our procedures. So really good news there. Required communication. So here we just note a few things we're required to tell you all. So overall, the audit went smoothly. We have a positive working relationship with management. So Addie got us everything we need. We weren't missing any documentation, no unusual transactions, no unusual accounting policies or treatments. And then that last box there, significant estimates, that relates to the actuarial estimates that go into calculating the PERA net pension liability, and then the net OPEB liability. That's other post-employment benefits. So that is nothing different than in the past and no different than any other governmental entity. We're just required to note that in our reports that actuaries actually determine those balances on the library's behalf. And also kudos to Addie as well, because like I said, everything went really smoothly. Obviously, this was her first audit here, so I think just her filling in, she did a really good job. Controls and compliance. So this is going to look quite similar to in the past. Audit adjustments. The only adjustments we recorded were accrual adjustments, essentially to record the receivables and payables, any unearned revenue on behalf of the library. And those are all based on schedules provided by the library. And none of those were material. So we did not have a material audit adjustments finding, which is very good to see as well. Internal controls. Obviously, you just have a few people that are involved in the accounting process. So you can't fully segregate your transaction cycles as much as you would like. Very common for an organization of this size, and actually organizations much larger. It is something we report on a good multitude of the governments that we work with. So that's not abnormal and also no different than in the past for the library. And then that last column there, Minnesota legal compliance. So each year we're required to look at various statutes and laws that the library needs to follow. And everything we looked at checked out. We didn't have any findings there. Getting into the financial results for the library for 2025, so the general fund had a decrease in fund balance of about $38,000 and ending fund balance about $8.69 million. Revenues and expenditures exceeded budget, and the decrease in fund balance, however, was about $584,000 less than the decrease that was budgeted for. So decrease in fund balance was projected to be about $622,000, ended up being about $38,000. So really doing better than, I guess, the target, you could say, there. And actually, I'll go over these numbers in a bit more detail over the next few pages here as well. Starting off with revenues. From 24 to 25, revenues decreased about $498,000. I'll speak to just a few categories or a couple categories here. State and other grants decreased just based on use of the RLTA grants. That decreased about $203,000, but still well in excess of budget. So budgeted was about $1.89 million. And then those state and other grants came in at about $2.48 million. And then the other one I was going to speak to is gifts and contributions, which you'll see a bit of a decrease there. That obviously can fluctuate from year to year. That decreased about $224,000. There were some large designated gift funds in 2024 from Zimmerman Family Trust, so that obviously was a bit of an anomaly, so that decreases likely as expected. And like I said, gifts and contributions on most entities tend to fluctuate from year to year because you really, it's hard to project what you're going to get there, which is why we show zero budget as well on the final budget line there. Other than that, you'll see the other categories, not a ton of fluctuation. And on the flip side, expenditures, those increased about $219,000 from 2024 to 2025. As you'll look at this, most of these columns, not a ton of fluctuation from 2024 to 2025. Most had very minimal changes. The one that I'll just speak to overall that had a bit of an increase was personnel. That increased about $172,000, but still well below the budget. And I think something to remember as well is when we present this information next year, those personnel costs may be quite a bit more because my understanding is that there were labor negotiations in early 2026, I believe. So we'll probably see some fluctuation that next year as well. And I did just want to mention that because once we get to that point, that will kind of be like, yeah, that makes sense because it's as expected. But I did want to mention that as well. But like I said, other categories here, not too much of a fluctuation there. So fund balance, of the libraries, 8.69 million fund balance that I mentioned earlier, about 56% of it is unassigned. So your unassigned is your spendable portion. The remaining balance is committed, restricted, or assigned for particular purposes, whether that be capital outlay or particular expenses in future years. That is the other piece to the puzzle, so to speak. On this page, we take that unassigned or spendable portion of about 4.87 million as a percent of budgeted expenditures. So you'll see here, if we're looking at this graph, there was a slight decrease from 24 to 25, and that percentage sat at about 46.2%. Library policy is for that percentage to sit at or above 25% or 3 months of operating expenditures. So well above that target. But I do think it's important to remember that, of course, 25% is a decent amount, but it is only 3 months of operating expenditures. Because you think about all of a sudden something happens and you're not able to get funding in. You know, some of that state funding or things like that. You may be obvious. I mean, we hope to God that does not happen, but you may be in a bit of a panic if that were to happen. So that's why I think 3 months is good, but maybe even 6 months is a little bit better. It's nice to see a 50% target and have that cushion in there for unassigned. You know, it 25%, yeah, kind of seems like a lot. But like I said, if something were to happen and the funding's not coming through, then you know you have that extra dollar sitting there for that unassigned. And that's what I tell the most of the governments I work with, just kind of keeping that in mind, that it's good to have a little bit sitting there just in case. And then cash for the general fund. So that had a slight increase and from 2024 to 2025. It has been increasing just gradually over the past 4 years. Ending cash at 12/31/25 was about 9.88 million. Something to keep in mind as well here, is that a lot of those dollars of that 9.88 million sits in certificates of deposit. So about 6.6 million sits in CDs between CDs at a local bank or CDs within the Magic Fund. And there are obviously penalties for early withdrawals of CDs. So not entirely liquid cash of that 6.6 million. So I did want to mention that. Obviously most of those CDs, I think, sit like 3 month to year terms. So there is, they're not super aligned. It's not like you have like a 5 year CD or something like that. But I do think it's something to keep in mind because it's not entirely liquid cash. I think your liquid cash is about just over 3 million. So I did just want to mention that as well because I think that's definitely something to keep in mind with the CDs that sit there. It's a decent amount at least to know that, and know that that's the liquidity on that is maybe not quite as fast as your normal investments and such. And then just a couple more pages here, actually. Now we'll just talk a bit about the library's assets and liabilities as a whole. So assets as a whole increased from 24 to 25, and those as a whole sat at about 15.18 million. Assets include your cash, any receivables, as well as your any capital assets. So you'll see here just a slight change in the capital line item there, and then the current assets had a bit of an increase there, most of that being increases in cash. A bit of increase in is increases in receivables as well, but those do tend to fluctuate from year to year. And then on the flip side, liabilities, those had a, let's see here, slight increase, about $64,000. So not a ton of change there. As a whole, they sat at about $4.7 million at 12/31/25. You'll see current liabilities had a bit of an increase. That's just an increase in unearned grant revenue. So that unearned grant revenue is available for use in future years. So that's essentially grant revenue received in 2025 or prior that hasn't been used yet. So that is available for use. So I did want to mention that's a primary fluctuation in that current line item. And then net pension liability decreased about just over $300,000 there as well. Not of a ton of fluctuation in non-current. And then entity-wide assets and liabilities. We do just like to present this slide here, just excluding pension balances, because it gets you an idea of maybe slightly more liquid assets and liabilities here. So we do present that top line item being your assets of about $15 million. The line item at the bottom is your liabilities, about $2.5 million. And then you'll see that middle line, that's the net of that. So that's your assets less liabilities, and that's about $12.67 million is what that net comes out to there. Any questions at all?
Anybody got?
No. Oh. Excellent presentation.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you all. And it's been a pleasure working with both Addie and Brandy. Really, I think everything went as smoothly as we could have asked this year with turnover right before year end, and it really went smoothly, like I said earlier. So much appreciated.
Thank you.
Just quickly for the rest and maybe some people sitting here, Tina and I did sit on the audit exit committee, and we got a chance to ask a lot of questions. So okay. We did talk about that, including how we have some things that while they look like we could easily tap into them. We can't necessarily do that without those penalties that you just brought up. But just want to make sure you know that we got a chance to go mm-hmm. through it at pretty great length.
Okay.
Thank you, Ashley.
Yeah, thanks, Ashley. This was an action item, so.
Move for approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
Greg? Okay. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We have the annual review of the unassigned fund balance. That's on page 25 in your packet.
Yep.
Go ahead.
All right. So the unassigned fund balance, kind of post-audit presentation here. So once again, Ashley mentioned the kind of that $4.87 million was our unassigned fund balance, equal to about 4.38 months of reserves. You can see on page 25 of your board packet, we've kind of laid out all previous designations. That includes kind of the operating surplus to supplant the 2026 and 2027 budgets, and then also the remainder of the spend down and recovery plan, as well as the 2026 surplus designations. After that, we take out our 3 months of reserves that are required, and that leaves us all with about $1.21 million in unassigned fund balance post-designations. Does anyone have any questions on any of the numbers? We went over this in more detail during the Finance Committee meeting.
Mr. Chair, a quick comment. I mean, just that we were just told in our evaluation, our audit, that, you know, the 3 months is good, but more is better. That 6 months might be something, and we had, I know we had to actually discuss this a little bit in the finance meeting, that, you know, it might be a better idea to sit on that. And when you look at what the professionals in this area recommend for government is that we have even more. I think that that's really a good idea to hold on to this additional cash at this point in time for the potential chaos to come, such as it might be.
That was a comment that we had during the Finance Committee meeting, too, whether we should look at spending down a little bit of that or what we should do with the 1.2 million. The signatories for the counties are going to be an increase of 2.6.
Yeah.
2.65. So there was a lot of discussion on that, and it's something that we can decide on at this date.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you have a list of the CDE renewals when they come up so that maybe we can take a look at some of those before they might renew again?
Yes, we do. And in the financial reports is a list of the CDs, but Addie and I keep a real close eye on that, and we try to balance kind of the shorter term, basically so things don't all mature at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then also in the Finance Committee meeting, we had approval to have even longer term CDs too. So we'll keep looking at that and working with Ehlers and trying to make sure that we're making the most of every dollar we can.
Well, I just meant that maybe we shouldn't look at if we need to have cash, maybe we don't want to look at some longer term CDs, or maybe if they're coming up for renewal, we look at not renewing them, but in putting them, if that's where we need to get cash. Just an idea.
Sure. Makes sense.
Any other comments, questions? This is an action item to approve the unassigned fund balance for now?
Make a motion.
You move that, Tina?
Yep.
Okay. Need a second?
I can second that, Ed.
Okay. Seconded by Bobby. Any other discussion on it? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Carried. The consent agenda. We need approval on that.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. All right. 6.1 is the MinLink agreement amendment.
Consent agenda.
So you're on to communications.
Oh, we're on to communications. Yep. Okay. Communications, the Big Lake Council resolution. It's on page 37.
Yeah. So basically, I just wanted to share this with the board so you can see that the city of Big Lake did pass a resolution saying to, as we had mentioned in an earlier meeting, for the library to stay in the building that it's currently in, and therefore they withdrew the request for a space needs analysis. So nothing that the board needs to do on this. Just wanted to sort of close that circle for you. We're very happy with this result.
That's great.
We're very happy. Yes.
So we don't need a motion on anything. All right. Thank you.
Anything under the others?
Under
others?
No, I didn't have anything.
Okay. The other. Presentations?
Nope, we don't have that. So we're on staff
report. Staff report?
Yep. All right. So I received a question from a commissioner not on this board about maintenance of effort and why the state's maintenance of effort level for counties was so much lower than the signatory agreement levels. And so decided that since I was telling one person, I would also share the information with the board. And we actually have some more information about this during the work session presentation. We have a graph that kind of shows it. In a nutshell, maintenance of effort was set in 2012 as 90% of 2011 expenses and has not had increases due to inflation or other changes since that time. So basically, that has just stayed constant. And it is not, and because of that, whereas in 2011, maybe it was representative of what it took to take care of a library, to provide library services, it isn't anymore because it hasn't increased. Instead, The signatory amounts, because we use the base budget process, that by definition does have increases based on inflation, based on wage increases, and things like that. And so those kinds of things have created that difference between a maintenance of effort amount that the state identifies as required in order to participate in state library services and the signatory amount that we come to through the joint powers agreement process. So that is what this is all about. I had shared with our commissioners on this board that at one point in time, state library services had suggested that they were going to be changing maintenance of effort amounts, and then there was a reversal with state council, and they're not at this time, though they did recommend that it might need to be changed in order to have that inflationary adjustment, something like that, but was outside of the scope of the state council at this time. So as in years past, state library services will be sending out maintenance of effort letters in August, September. The regional directors have asked them to add more information in about where maintenance of effort numbers come from, the fact that they're not increasing based on inflation or anything else, just to help with that information because there are so many misunderstandings around MOE. Yeah.
So just to clarify, because I know we go through this a bunch, but the maintenance of effort, in order to get the state funds and state services, not what it costs to run our libraries, hasn't changed over time.
Correct.
So that's, to me, I just keep having to put that. That's over here. That has to do with the state money. I suppose, in a way, good that we aren't told a different number. It wouldn't matter because we'd meet it under our signatory agreement.
Right.
It trumps all of that anyways.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Got
it. Any other questions about MOE? And again, during the work session, we'll have a graph that kind of displays that some more. All right. Other stuff. Yeah, been busy meeting with staff, meeting with counties, going to trainings and conferences and all that kind of stuff. Moving forward into management reports, a couple things that I wanted to just give shout outs for. On page 43, talked about the Read to Grow program. This is one that Jeanette has been working on very hard, trying to get off the ground for a few years. Looks like we will finally, hopefully, be able to try it in Elk River this year. Since this was written, we've had to pull the idea from Little Falls, so it'll be just Elk River this year. But it basically pairs kids who are struggling with reading with a mentor who can give them that consistent one-on-one. So cross your fingers. We will get some good results. And if it falls through, it's not for Jeanette's lack of effort. Let's just be clear. And then there's just some fun stuff about the Big Lake Library and Wayview Center outreach and other kinds of things with that. Addie, I don't know if you want to talk about yours, just the investment management basically.
Sure, yeah. So in April, we began our initial investment with Ehlers Financial. We had previously let two CDs expire from our Magic portfolio, and we were able to invest them with Ehlers, totaling $475,000. We currently have them in partly in a money market, partly in some short-term CDs. Pending, we were waiting to update our investment in deposit policy, which we did at the Finance Committee meeting. So stay tuned for more updates with Ehlers Financial.
Thank you, Addie. Page 45, Brianne continues to work on Evaluate the Locally Grown program. That is the campaign that we have typically done in either March or April to raise funds at the local level. We took a break this year because we had so many new staff in accounting, and also we'd never done an actual evaluation of the effectiveness of the program. So Brianne is continuing to meet one-on-one with library services coordinators to do that. She's also, they're neck deep in the Summer Reading Challenge campaign and getting donations for that. And also, I just want to give a shout out. We are going to be doing the library card design contest again next month. which is always a very, very happy time at the library. If any of you ever stop by my office, you're always welcome to. You will see one of the submissions from the first library card sign or library card contest that is very much not something graphical enough to put on a library card, but I love it with all my heart. It says library card yahoo. Yeehaw. And it is just the best thing. I love it. I love it so much. Moving to page 47, I did want to call your attention to, under Kara Langston's significant security incident at the St. Cloud Public Library, that we are working through. Basically, we had a gentleman come to the library based on what he was saying at the time and what we learned. He came with the intention of wanting to get arrested. He was having a mental health crisis, needed services, so he came to get arrested for that and created a lot of chaos and fear for patrons and staff alike. So we will be debriefing with Sergeant Heschen from the St. Cloud PD tomorrow with myself, some members of the leadership team, and some members of local leadership here at the St. Cloud Library, and kind of talking through that. And then I've also been gathering more information from around the state with other efforts that are being done in large metropolitan libraries. And we'll be having a listening and discussion session with staff once I've gotten some of that information together. So just wanted to let you know that continues to be an issue. We also, along with the rest of the city of St. Cloud, have been having issues with teens who are just kind of running amok in the evenings. But we keep working on that as well, getting good support from local PD and other organizations. Kara and Jen Thompson from the St. Cloud Library went to community discussion at the Center for African Immigrants and Refugees here in town and got some additional information and talked to folks about things that are going on in the larger community. So we, again, try to make connections in order to improve the situation with that as well.
Brandy, just yep. A quick question. Nobody was hurt during that incident?
No.
Okay, good.
Nobody was hurt, but people were scared.
So with the teens,
mm-hmm.
Is that getting to be a regular thing where you have?
It is regular. It is also a little complicated. There's a lot of teens and other ages who come and use our study rooms. And they come here, and sometimes they're here for 4 hours, and they get bored, and they start acting like teenagers. And so some of them, it's a good use of the library. I'm talking with my staff about other things, like are there places we could set up for them to eat where it would not be a problem, you know, stuff like that, because the eating in study rooms tends to become an issue when trash gets left in them, and we don't have the staffing to be able to clean up. So we're trying to think pretty holistically about how we can work with the young adults in the library to just make it a more positive experience for everybody. But it definitely is a larger St. Cloud issue from the sounds of it, too. Yeah, but good ideas coming forward with that one. We'll get somewhere good. At least somewhere better. Also, on page 48, we had, top of it, Llama Llama Read-A-Rama, which is, like, it's such a fun day. I strongly encourage, if any of you are around during Llama Llama Read-A-Rama, please stop by. It is, like, the bestest. It is so much fun. It's just kids running around being happy and families being happy, and we had llamas, and we had rabbits, and we had some hamsters, and like all kinds of fun little furry creatures. And some, I think one of the great things, the United Way is the one that organizes it. We just host. And the United Way just is an amazing partner for this event. It is really lovely. So again, if you're ever around for Llama Llama Read-A-Rama, please come just for the sunshine that brings to your soul, because it's awesome.
It's a great name.
Yeah. Other stuff just real quickly. On the top of page 49, Jay talks about penetration testing and that we're using RLTA Priority 2 to do some more penetration testing on our networks. basically to try to keep out bad actors out of our networks, which has really come to light in the last couple of weeks as some of our partners and other folks have, someone has clicked the wrong link, and we've had just an explosion of phishing emails going through. And I know some made it out into the board emails. I checked in with you on that, but there's been a lot of that lately. So we are doing all we can to try to keep things good, safe, all that.
Randy, question. Do you do any sort of training after that employee clicks the link? Like, do they do extra training individually for that person?
Yes. So okay. One of the things that we do is we use a subscription service called KnowBefore, and that sends out, like, false phishing emails to staff.
Yep.
So just to try to make sure that everybody's having to practice all the time verifying whether an email looks hinky or not. And that has really helped. It's made the numbers of problematic link clicking go way, way down. And if someone does, then yes, they get assigned to redo the training.
Mm-hmm.
It's been very much worth the investment.
For sure. For
really,
sure.
Really good.
We did that at the Coney. Very helpful.
Yeah. Let's see. Other things, moving on to page 51 for building reports. I just wanted to point out a couple things. In Little Falls, we're working with the Friends of the Library to do some shifting of where they've kept their used books so that we can use a $10,000 Carnegie grant to make the top floor more fun and engaging and usable for the public. And then in Cold Spring, Kara and Jamie continue to work tirelessly with the city of Cold Spring to try to ready the temporary location. Forward movement has happened. It's a little choppy, but we're hoping to get moved into there on time. I'm not sure what the timeline is right now because it keeps changing.
And this is all due to part that they want to build a new library, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And other things, big things. Gray Eagle has a new desk. It's lovely. It's much more functional. So lots of really good things happening out and about. Other things in the staff reports is the strategic plan statistics. On page 53, we've had an overall increase in borrower numbers this year, which is very good to see. Staff are working really, really hard on that. Unfortunately, the end of quarter one was below the end of quarter one in 2025. One of the things, that's on page 54, one of the things I'm working with the leadership team on right now is exploring some options for more automated borrower renewals so that we can try to keep people who are using the library, keep their cards renewing automatically so that they don't just fall off like that. We're working through it, getting quotes, getting ideas, so more to come on that one. And then on page 55 through 57 are circulation statistics from January, February, and March. And they, just looking at page 57, it tells an interesting story. We have some significant drops in libraries, and we have some significant increases. Everybody's working really, really hard. I will point out that Sauk Center, which was down 70%, they did have a window replacement project going on, too, so that closure accounts for part of that. But, you know, Eagle Bend's up almost 20%, and Swanville's down almost 44%. So it's just, especially in the small branches, there seems to be a lot of fluctuations. We keep working on it. Page 59 is I'm going to pause. Sorry, I feel like I'm just rushing through. Does anybody have any questions on anything that I've covered so far? No? Okay. So then on page 59, this should look familiar to folks who've been with us for a while. It's kind of for that strategic plan, quarterly reports, looking at some of the key indices or key metric areas that we want to work on with the strategic plan. You will see there's a significant amount of gray. That's not because we haven't been working. It's because we're still getting our feet under us after all the different transitions and also still kind of in that process of clarifying annual objectives. So just as a reminder, the strategic plan that was approved last year was intentionally created to be broad and kind of vague. And the reason for that was because we knew we would have a new executive director. And Karen, it was very important for her to make sure that the new executive director was able to kind of bring their stamp to that. So I've been working with the leadership team, especially this month, to kind of look at sort of that framework of the strategic plan that we had and figure out yearly objectives and what we want to say, this is what we're doing in 26, this is what we want to achieve in 27. And so that has been a key sort of project that the leadership team had been working on. So more information to come on that. Wrapping back to the staff visits that I did going out to the different branches, we talked a lot about the strategic plan in those meetings and got a lot of good insights from branch staff about things they wanted to see and other stuff like that with the strategic plan. So it was a really good process. All right. Any questions? Okay. On page 61, we have the staff recognition report. So a big shout out to Julie Bucci, who is in our communications development department. She will be celebrating 25 years with Great River next month. So she is just a rock. She is someone that all the coordinators and stuff throughout the region know they can call her if they need help with they need some kind of publicity. Julie is one of the two people that puts together all the different, like, event flyers and different things like that. She also does a lot with the social media. So she is truly a rock. We're happy to have had her. And then some retirements that we've got coming up there at the bottom. So that's kind of where we're at with that. Questions? And then on the last page, 62, is annual statistics for HR. And this just shows kind of turnover rate, separations, average employees, number of new hires, promotions, applications, and interviews. And 2025 is down at the bottom. So 2024... we don't have, like, we moved from ADP to Paylocity, and so that impacted some of the count and things that we had to do manually. I will say when I look at the 2025 statistics, some of the big things that really stand out to me is the number of applications and interviews we've been doing lately. And in last year, it's just really grown again. And we're having really big pools of applicants for things as a general rule. Generally, that's one of the things, because I've been here a long time, that I look at and I go, well, that's telling me the economy is not as great as we all wish it would be, because we've got a lot of people applying for part-time jobs and that. And we're happy to have them. We're getting great people. But it's also one of those things that can be troubling too.
Well, yeah, I mean, you look from 2020 to 2025, you're doubled from 373 to 800.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, anyway, any questions on that? All right. Then I think, Ed, we're ready to move on to committee reports, number 10.
Committee reports, finance.
Yep. We approved the first quarter 2026 financial report. Everything seems to be on track. Next item, we deposited the investment policy revisions. We approved the deposit investment and policy revisions so that as we're working with Ehlers, it all falls in line together. So, and we talked a little bit more about how those, how that, this policy will be able to work with Ehlers with timing and long-term investments. Then we approved the preliminary budget proposal and reviewed the annual unassigned fund balance. So all those were approved and moved forward.
Any questions on that? From people that are not on the finance? I believe that needs to make a motion.
Yep, we need approval.
Oh, I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded to approve the financial committee's report. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Personnel?
Well, we had a quick meeting, but accomplished quite a bit. We looked at policies that had to do with holidays to match Minnesota state statute. We looked at policies that had to do with PTO and sick leave bank. And then we looked at some policies and approved, all these were approved, policies that had to do with executive transition and interim replacement. And so they were all approved. Good information from the HR department.
Yeah.
Very good. I'll make a motion that we approve those.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Motion been made and seconded to approve the policy or personnel committee report. Any other discussion or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. You have anything under library development plan?
Yep, I can speak to that. Unless, okay. RF, do you want to speak, say anything about library development plan? Otherwise, I can.
Yeah. I do have a few notes that I kind of took down. So I think overall the Library Development Plan Committee is discussing, I would say, some basic strategies to address probably some of the, ever-present issues pertaining to getting more access to people around different counties to books. So one of them was a thought that was pondered was a bookmobile or book vending machines. That's one thought. There was a discussion about book lockers, I think particularly in Sartell, and also working on maybe a reissue of the branch agreements, working on the language and kind of coming with, creating new such agreements, updated, et cetera. That's what I have from my case.
Okay. Yep. So basically what we did was we looked through the last library development plan, library development policy, branch agreements, looking for areas that where there might be inconsistencies. Since that meeting, staff have done a couple of additional things. So the patron services supervisors have been working together on getting the facility narratives and coming up with a format with that makes it a little bit easier for people to read or to understand for a given facility, whether that's Elk River or Belgrade or Gray Eagle, wherever, kind of what are things that work well, what might be challenges for that facility so that it's a little easier, a little more consistent in the language about what's going on there. And then also Kara and Jamie and I have met a couple of times to talk about alternative services or alternative access models, excuse me. So what are other ways that people might access library services if they don't have a library in their town? And so, again, we looked at the library development plan, the library development policy, and then the branch agreement appendices to see what was in conflict so that we can try to make things more streamlined, make it a little easier. And then also we've been talking about, are there any new kinds of alternative services that we should bring to the board as well? The committee will be meeting again next month and kind of figure out what we've got so far and marching orders for the next couple months. And again, plan to be bringing that to the full board in September or October for just kind of presentation, get questions and things like that, and then we'll come back for the final approval in November. Okay.
Okay. Any unfinished business?
No.
New business, the 2027 preliminary budgets on page 21. It's in the finance package. Part of that. Mm-hmm. On page 21. Is Addie going to take that?
Yep.
Okay, Addie.
You're on.
Is it on? There we go. All right. So the preliminary budget, once again, let me get my notes back out from the finance committee meeting here. Oh, no, I put everything away. there it is. Okay. So we're kind of in the next stage of the budget process with the preliminary budget, which is adopted in May. This is not the final budget. It is just kind of the next step where we come to the board for any direction before we come with the final budget. So we did make a few adjustments with the updated RLBSS funding amounts. We also reduced a few expenses the best we can between personnel costs and some accounting-related expenses. We kept everything as flat as we could, but this seems to be the year that a lot of inflation and vendor price increases are hitting us hard. We also reduced the capital amount to match the 2026 amount, $35,000. After all these changes, the total operating budget shows a 2.67% increase over last year. And then we have the updated signatory table on page 29 of your finance packet. That kind of displays the preliminary look at the signatory contributions for 2027. The bottom left in gray shows the 2027 contribution amounts. The middle in green shows the 2026 amounts. And the bottom right in gray shows the overall change from last year's contributions with the updated factors. So the Finance Committee did accept this preliminary budget and gave us a little bit of direction. We're going to come back to a June work session with a couple different scenarios, one being to reduce the operating budget by about another percent or so, and then also coming back with maybe a few spend down scenarios with some of our unassigned fund balance. And then there's also just kind of another option on the table is to kind of leave it how it's at. So we're going to be coming back in June with all of that.
Anybody have comments on that?
Nothing new since the finance meeting.
Okay. Anybody? Is that an action item?
No, it's just information.
Okay. Anything under others?
Nope. We kept it brief so we'd have time for the work session.
Okay. Board open forum?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody have anything on the open forum? From board members? Okay. Next meeting is June 16th, the Board of Trustees work session. And then July 21st is the Board of Trustees meeting.
Yep. And then the plan is that we're requesting Ed to recess the regular meeting. We'll need a couple moments because we're going to be splitting the tape for that, and then we will come back with a work session that Terrell will be facilitating, And then after that work session, we'll have to reconvene the regular meeting. Mm-hmm. Again, we'll need to pause for a little bit so that we can adjust the tapes, reconvene the meeting in order to adjourn the meeting. So that's the plan.
Is there time for a bathroom break then?
I was just going to say, I think we have time for a quick break and a stand-up if people need it, but please do come back. Yes, do not go far.
We got to do the official recess first.
Okay.
So I need a motion to recess the meeting and go into a work session.
I'll make the motion.
I would be impressed to come here if I could do that.
Second by Lynn? Okay, thank you. Is all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.
Okay, we've completed our workshop. I will, Mr. Chair, I'll turn it back off to you.
Okay, workshop's completed, and I guess right now we're looking for adjournment of the regular board meeting.
I'll make a motion we adjourn.
What?
I'll make a motion we adjourn.
I'll second it.
Second. Motion been made and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Thank you all so much.